You join me here on R&IB Connect Radio at the Beyond the Visual Symposium here at Wellcome Collection with two of the main people behind the symposium. Ken Wilder, who's an academic writer and artist, and Aaron McPeak, who is also an artist as well. Could I ask you both where the idea for the symposium came from?
I kind of think it emerged out of discussions that we've had together. We did our PhDs together way back in... kind of, I finished in 2009, Aaron slightly later. So we met each other and we had, I think, a mutual interest in non-visual ways of perceiving. So there were kind of certain things covered in both of our PhDs where there was a kind of crossover. And then we collaborated on one artwork in particular, which was in Sweden in 2017 when we did a light and sound installation into this wonderful piece of architecture by a Swedish architect called Sigurd Leverance.
And Aaron, obviously, you're somebody who was a lighting designer for a number of years before you obviously had issues with your sight and now become an artist. Similar idea as to how this symposium came together?
Well, I mean, I've always been an artist, but income generating was in other areas. And I think, as Ken says, we share certain common interests. Ken published a book a couple of years ago titled Beholding, which maybe he should tell you a bit more about that, but it's quite a philosophical take on how we encounter artworks. And as Ken said, we've worked together on projects that we share a common interest in. So this research network was to kind of improve that community of practice and make more connections. So we've managed to do that with a lot of people in a couple of projects in Canada that we've both been involved in, at an exhibition in Prague and at a conference in Prague, in Barcelona, at the Henry Moore, at Tate Modern, and now at the Wellcome Collection. So we've expanded the field, if you like, I think, and doing something that we both have a strong interest in.
And obviously you brought a lot of very interesting and knowledgeable and great people together over these 2 days, some wonderful artists, vision impaired artists, and some wonderful people from the art sector and museum sector as well. What do you see as the main, I suppose, key aims of the symposium, and what do you want people to take away from the symposium?
I think one of the premises in which we set up the project was that actually contemporary forms of art practice, hybrid forms, installation art, sound art, etc., does open up new possibilities for blind and visually impaired people to engage with art, different from kind of traditional forms of painting through audio description or sculpture through touch, because it's completely immersive because you're inside. So we wanted to kind of emphasize that a little bit more. And then also to emphasize the kind of, you know, experimental work which many artists with visual impairment are doing, where actually access isn't something that's kind of happens after the event, but actually is part of the creative practice. It's kind of integrated into the very reason that you make art, to allow, you know, diverse beholders to experience it in different ways.
Yeah, and I think we can, following on from what Cam was saying about visually impaired artists, but also perfectly sighted artists are doing that as well. And we think that the sector needs a sector, which is to say institutions, curators and academics, they need to learn about this, and how do we present work that can be touched, that can be engaged with in other ways beyond looking. So it's a way we're trying to get that discussion more apparent in the sector, that we tend to, when it exhibits, if you can touch things, they tend to be very separate from the things you look at. It's either all or nothing. And here at Wellcome Collection, the In Plain Sight exhibition, one of my pieces that's on display is a bronze that you can touch and ring, which is quite unusual to have a mix of some very extremely valuable objects.
A bronze rendition of the eye chart.
It's a life-size Snellen chart that's a bronze, bell bronze, so it can be struck and it's made from bell bronze, it rings a bit like a gong. So there are some headway being made in that area.
And the exhibition In Plain Sight is fantastic. Not only is it, I suppose, looking at the way we see as sighted people and as blind and partially sighted people, but also the way visually impaired and blind people are seen, which I think is perhaps a bigger issue. And I think there needs to be certainly a lot more sort of, I suppose, acceptance or understanding of visually impaired people and visually impaired artists.
I think that's right. I think what's so great about the exhibition is quite often you come to exhibitions and the contemporary art bit is tucked on in the end. You know, suddenly you've gone through this historical material and then you come to the contemporary art. I really like the way that the exhibition integrates the contemporary art into the those kind of diverse kind of sections, which means it starts to talk to some of that historical framing of things such as kind of blindness and beyond.
Yeah, it is. It's been a beautifully put together show, both in terms of its layout. I mean, some of my work's very near a first edition Isaac Newton of optics. I did offer to give them a new copy if they wanted, and I'd swap them. But so to have work like that so approximate, you know, hundreds of years apart, but within the narrative, and also the design of the architectural design of the gallery with curved surfaces and tactile flooring, that I think it's really beautifully done.
And what are you both looking forward to over the next couple of days? What are the main things that out of this symposium that you're really looking forward to listening to or getting involved in?
I think we made the roundtable discussion central to the event, and we got four different themes. So those roundtables, the discussion is the heart of what we want to do. And as you said earlier, we bring neuroscientists, you know, we bring psychologists, we bring artists, curators,
architects.
You know, architects. So I think it's like offering kind of different ways of discussing this kind of issue, bringing different kind of points of view, or to use a slightly occupant-centric term. But I think what's really key for us is that, again, artists, practitioners, particularly practitioners with visual impairment, are definitely at heart quite a lot of the presentations. You know, I'm non-blind, but I am particularly interested in the idea of non-visual kind of communication or ways of experience kind of artwork. So, you know, it wasn't about, you know, in my case, speaking on the behalf of someone, you know, I wouldn't dare to do that. But actually saying that those ways of engaging actually have things that are important as theoreticians, as philosophers, to think about it. I think it makes a change, you know, the way we think about art as a practice, certainly visual art, that very ocular-centric term. You know, someone said, David Johnson, I think it was earlier on, you know, why don't we just call it art? You know, why don't we just abandon that term, kind of visual art, which is a very bad way of describing a lot of the practices that we're seeing over these next 2 days.
Yeah, and I also think in terms of the project funded as a network project, and I know a lot of the people that are participating, and you know, we've got a few people from Canada, from the United States, and then even someone in New Zealand is going to be kind of present, unfortunately, because we moved the date. So we've got people from around the world that actually do know each other, but you get opportunities at coffee breaks and the like to go a little bit deeper into the things that you've been scheming with them over, and also it's genuinely to generate a network, which is to say you're going to meet new people that have expertise, you know, in architecture, in neuroscience, in theoretical side of things, as well as the practical and the curatorial and the institutional. So being able to kind of exploit that network, I think for me, is, apart from obviously listening to very interesting and clever people speaking about their work, for me the network's very important. And actually I've got a couple of projects that I need to tidy up with some of the people here. I haven't had the chance to speak to them yet, but I will.
And I do think it's cumulative. I think over the course of the 2 days, certain themes will reoccur, and that gives us the opportunity to revisit those. You know, if it was just a one-off session for a morning, then you know, lots of things that you think should have been said or weren't said, you know, you have that opportunity to come back to those and to revisit those. And we finish with Georgina Klee giving a keynote talk, a lecture, which will really be about kind of reflecting on her 20 years of advocacy in terms of art and blindness. So, you know, it's 20 years since Georgina and Fiona Candlin, who's also speaking later on today, participated in an event at Tate Modern. It's almost exactly 20 years. It was November in 2002. So it seems a really good point to start to reflect on what's been achieved and what still has got to be done, because there's a lot that still has to be done.
Well, we're going to hopefully be catching up with you both at the end of the symposium to find out how it's all gone. And thank you very much indeed, Ken and Aaron, for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.